The reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now over to David.
It's a wonderful thing that the story should tell that the first announcement of God came to the shepherds. They were despised by the orthodox good people of the day. They were quite unable to keep the details of the ceremonial law. They could not observe all the meticulous hand washings and rules and regulations. Their flocks made far too constant demands on them, and so the orthodox looked down on them. Yet, it was to simple men in the field that God's message first came. It wasn't a con. They hadn't been tricked. Probably for the first time in their lives, those smelly shepherds were the ones with the hot news and the personal experience. Everything the angels predicted had come true. What a joy, what a blast to be able to go from the place where the manger stood and amaze the locals with their account of angels. A stable and the baby who was, guess what, the Messiah. Two things made this happiness possible for them. First, they did what they were told. So many worthwhile experiences begin with simple acts of affirmation or obedience. Do the next thing, not a bad motto for followers of Jesus. If God shows you something, follow it up. That's what the shepherd did, and they were rewarded. Second, they don't seem to have embroidered the experience of being led to the place where the little Son of God was lying. They were still smelly shepherds who had received a favour from God. That's all Christians have ever been, smelly, sinful men and women, unexpectedly favoured by God. We can rave about the author of our faith all we want, but as soon as we rave about ourselves, everything else goes terribly pear-shaped. Initially, the shepherds, quite understandably, were fearful of the sudden appearance of the heavenly host. We may perceive angels cute and cuddly, but in reality, they often produce terror in those who see them. You may want a hug when you see one, but it won't be a hug from them. So instead of having great fear, they were to have great joy. Did you catch that? Great joy. Now, joy is one of those words that usually stands by itself. Rarely will someone say, "I have enormous joy," or "I have colossal joy." But sometimes the word joy does not need an adjective in front of it to further indicate what kind of joy it is. or the depth of the joy. The birth of Christ is not just news of joy, but it is news of great joy, so great that we cannot use adequate words to describe it. So where are you this morning? Do you have great fear in your heart, or do you have great joy? When was the last time you had colossal joy in your life? Has it been days, months, or years? If you don't remember the last time you experienced great joy, what is keeping you from it? Why are you not happy? Verse 11 in today's reading. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. That's right, born for you, born for shepherds, born for average people, born for farmers and technicians and teachers and builders and nurses and parents and children. Born to you. Is this good news to you? The angel said, I bring you good news of great joy. Does it seem good to you, or is there other news in your life that is crowding out the good news of Christ, smothering the great joy that such news brings to those who receive it? You have a choice what news you will live by, what circumstances you will submit to and come under. Would you live under the circumstances of the gospel, the good news of Christ coming to redeem a people of his own possession, to clothe us in light, or will you live under the circumstances of the day, the struggles of your life, the pain of the day? When Christ, who is your life, appears, he does not compete with bad news. Instead, he says, I will take you as my own, and any bad news that comes your way, we will endure together, and I will make you better and stronger and more joy-filled through it. Bad news does not have the final say. Good news does. Yes, in this world we will have tribulation or trouble, but take heart, Jesus says, I have overcome the world. So if you're living under the weight of circumstances, you need to throw them off of yourself and onto Christ. In fact, you are commanded to. Why? Because he cares for you. He loves you. But let's get back to the shepherds, smelly or not. In verses 13 and 14, we read that suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the army of heaven, praising God and saying, Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is aware. They were just starting to get comfortable with the angel, and then a huge choir tunes up. We notice that this multitude of heavenly beings is not saying anything to the shepherds. Instead, they are actually praising God. So the shepherds are given a glimpse of a divine choir worshipping God. Like the Transfiguration, when Peter, James and John get a glimpse of God's glory. This is an invitation. The shepherds are being given an opportunity to join with angelic beings in worshipping God, and so, of course, are we. It's an invitation for something greater than ourselves. Come and worship the God whose footstool is on earth. I, like some of you, have a footstool or ottoman in front of a comfy chair that is one of the privileges of getting old. But that is what our earth is to God. His footstool. He kicks back his legs and rests them on the Middle Eastern desert. To quote from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 66, this is what the Lord says, Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house you will build for me? Where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all things, and so they come into being, declared the Lord. This is the one I esteem, who is humble and contrite in spirit, and trembles at my word. So are you a person who is humble and contrite in spirit? Do you tremble at the word of God? Do you love his coming? Do you yearn to be in the presence of God? Or is the coming of Jesus just another news headline that may or may not make the front page of your life? I pray that it would not only make the front page of your life, but that it would be your life that this Christmas season would not be mainly about presents, food and family, but the Saviour, the Lamb, who takes away the sin of the world. Well, I've nearly finished, but this being the last day of 2017, be honest, how many of last year's resolutions did you keep? They say that procrastination is the thief of time. We keep promising ourselves we'll do better. But resolutions only happen when you are resolute. That means having a mind that's made up. So here are four resolutions you need to make up your mind to keep this year. Firstly, take time for what really matters. Get up earlier in order to read your Bible and pray before entering the day. Make more time for your family or close friends. Start exercising and eating right. Now, there's a problem. Take better care of your body. It's God's temple, from 1 Corinthians. Secondly, tackle one thing at a time. Taking on too many things at once dilutes your focus and makes it harder to stick with things. When you start too much, you finish too little. So start where you are and build on your successes by mastering and maintaining one thing at a time. Thirdly, start small. Don't try to swallow the whole meal in one bite. Baby steps are the name of the game. Talk in terms of what you will do instead of what you want. For example, instead of saying, "I'm not going to be so critical," try saying, "Today I'm going to look for something good in everyone I meet." And a quote from the letter to the Philippians here. And fourthly, record your progress or lack of it. You cannot manage what you cannot measure. By facing the truth, you will see how far you have come and what you still need to work on. The Bible says, "Throw yourselves into your tasks," so everyone will see your progress, from 1 Timothy. And really, finally, this time, our late King George VI used this extract from a poem of Minnie Louise Hoskins in his Christmas message in the dark winter of 1939. "And I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, 'Give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown.' And he replied, 'Go out into the darkness and put your hand in the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way.'" Amen.